1420 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Christopher Cruz in the Washington Bureau. China is unhappy with the U.S. this morning after an F-22 fighter jet shot down a suspected spy balloon yesterday off the Carolina coast. CBS's Lucy Kraft reports from Tokyo.
China's foreign ministry declared strong dissatisfaction and protest after its giant balloon was shot down by a U.S. missile. Beijing labeled the use of force an overreaction and argues this balloon was a civilian aircraft that strayed into U.S. territory by accident. China has not commented on Pentagon reports of a second balloon hovering over Latin America.
Evacuation orders remain in place this morning in East Palestine, Ohio, after a train derailment Friday night caused a large fire. National Transportation Safety Board member Michael Graham.
About 50 cars were involved in the derailment, 20 of which contain hazardous materials.
A collision between two large planes was narrowly averted at the airport in Austin, Texas yesterday morning. Reporter Chris Fox is in Austin.
The Southwest Airlines plane was cleared for takeoff as an air traffic controller also gave the go-ahead for the FedEx 767 cargo plane to land. According to a statement from the Federal Aviation Administration, the FedEx pilot discontinued the landing and initiated a last-second climb out to avoid a collision.
Despite the dangerous cold in the Northeast and New England, the mail is getting delivered, and people are appreciative, says Dan Reed in Central New York State.
People are always saying thank you, and I can't believe you're out here, and you're doing great, and you know that it's nice to hear that.
Recorded at the top of Mount Washington in New Hampshire yesterday, a record-setting wind chill of minus 108 degrees Fahrenheit. Federal food assistance benefits for tens of millions of Americans will shrink significantly this month, and food banks are preparing, says CBS's Jim Krasula.
Managers of the nation's food banks expect record demand this month. The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, benefits are cut.
We worry that we'll see a tidal wave of need.
Eric Cooper is CEO of the San Antonio Food Bank in Texas. The benefits are being cut after Washington gave all SNAP recipients the maximum monthly benefit during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Tens of thousands of Israelis braved heavy rain yesterday for a fifth week of nationwide protests over judicial reform plans by the new government of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Protester Shai Spiegelman.
If the people of Israel is not going to do it, people are going to suffer here. People cannot stop. We cannot go back.
A bill ending 24-hour-a-day solitary confinement is close to becoming law in Virginia. The bill passed the Virginia House unanimously last week, 99-0. This week, it heads to the Senate, where passage is expected. From there, it goes to the desk of the governor. This is CBS News.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. High of 34. Today, under overcast skies, southeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy again. Tonight, a mixture of precipitation likely, lows around 31. Cloudy skies expected. Tomorrow, 35. Upper 30s. Wednesday, turning cooler. Thursday, with highs in the upper 30s and mixed precipitation. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 8 above.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
On the Civic Media app.
We stand on the shoulders of the women who came before us.
Women who were told they were bad with money.
Women who couldn't even get a credit card without a man co-signing.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn to lead the way.
Join us at WeSaySaveIt.org,
where women of all ages and all budgets are learning how to save for retirement.
You work hard.
You make money.
Now make that money work for you.
Invest in yourself at WeSaySaveIt.org.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at WAUK Radio. Is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the second hour of our program. Representative Ilhan Omar was kicked off her committee while pro-Hitler, I mean literally pro-Hitler, like, you know, Paul Gosar and Marjorie Taylor Greene, who speak at Nick Fuentes' conferences where he goes, yeah, that Hitler guy, yeah, and people will applaud, you know, we have actual Nazis, or at least people who hang out with actual Nazis, on this committee and in Congress, and they kicked off Ilhan Omar. It's just amazing. Eric Swalwell had some choice words about this. Here we go. Nate?
1 second.
Okay, it's going to take just a second. Anyhow, this is Gosar was at a conference hosted by white nationalist Nick Fuentes. He told the crowd that a nation without a people is not a nation. He went on to sell his audience. Fuentes followed Gosar and said, white people are done being bullied. The following day, Fuentes posted a picture to his Twitter account of him and Paul Gosar having coffee together. A few days later, Gosar tweeted a meme that included the motto of Fuentes' white nationalist group. Even after this public outcry, Gosar appeared at the same conference a year later. Fuentes said, now the media is going and saying Vladimir Putin is Adolf Hitler, as if that isn't a good thing. Really? Okay, so here's what Eric Swalwell had to say.
Is recognized for 1 minute.
Madam Speaker, when I heard that we're going to remove a member of this House from their committee for anti-Semitism, I raced down here because I thought, finally, in this chamber, there's going to be some accountability. Some accountability from this conference that continues to allow its members to root for rioters, to show sympathy for the insurrection, a conference that harbors a wanted international criminal and has members who choose violence over voting every single day, finally. And so I thought, we're going to hold someone accountable for anti-Semitism. Surely it's the author of this tweet. Kanye Elon Trump, October 6th, written by Chairman Jim Jordan. October 8th, what does Kanye say? I'm going to declare DEFCON 3 on the Jews. So surely this tweet came down, right? Came down, was deleted. No, 2 more months it was kept up. 2 more months. So don't come here looking at us for anti-Semitism. Look in your own damn mirror before you ever come over here. And I yield back.
There you go. And you know, Representative Ocasio-Cortez, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez also went on the floor. And she said, there's nothing consistent with the Republican Party's continued attack except for the racism and incitement of violence against women of color in this body. She says, I had a member of the Republican caucus threaten my life. She's talking about Paul Gosar. And you all, the Republican caucus, rewarded him with one of the most prestigious committee assignments in this Congress. Don't tell me this is about consistency. Don't tell me this is about condemnation of anti-Semitic remarks. When you have a member of the Republican Party, now she's talking about Marjorie Taylor Greene, who has talked about Jewish space lasers and tropes and also elevated her to some of the highest committee assignments in this body. This is about targeting women of color in the United States of America. And don't tell me, because I didn't get a single apology when my life was threatened. Amen. Amen. And the other thing that we learned yesterday, and this is from the popular.info website, Judd Legum's website, is titled "Why the College Board Watered Down Its New Course on Black History." This is a fascinating insight into DeSantis. DeSantis, in late December, around December 20th, started ranting about the College Board's Advanced Placement African American Studies course, and, you know, oh my God, it's got queer studies in it and stuff like that. He didn't start this. He jumped on a train that began riding down the tracks back in September when National Review, William F. Buckley's old magazine, William F. Buckley has passed away now, but he came right out and said that he thought that white people were genetically superior to African Americans. And William F. Buckley's publication was the one who started this, who started calling out the College Board and saying, oh my God, you know, look at this. And it turns out that the College Board, you know, makes big bucks. I think I said $2 billion in the first hour. I was wrong. They made over $1.1 billion in revenue in 2019. Almost half of that came from these AP and classes, these advanced placement classes. And compared with 2019, 55% of colleges required test scores. Now it's only 4% of schools require test scores. And their CEO took home $2.5 million in 2020. So basically, the College Board, and they're coming out now and saying, no, we didn't bow to DeSantis. We were making these decisions in December before he came out and said anything. Well, they were doing it in response to other right-wingers. So then DeSantis, seeing that the College Board is going to change their mind on something, comes out and acts like he's the guy to cause them to change their minds. So I'm the fascist they're really afraid of. Right. So anyhow, just wanted you to know all that stuff. Let's pick up your phone calls. It's Anything Goes Friday. Scott in Las Vegas. Hey, Scott, what's on your mind?
Hey, Tom, how you doing today?
Good. What's up?
Good, good. Just a short comment. Yesterday I was listening and you had a caller on that you guys talked a little bit about the black-on-black racism. And I forget how he expressed it, but it was essentially something along the lines of, you know, just and it related to the Tyre Nichols deal. And just because they look like me don't mean that they're like me. And I always talk to my girlfriend about this because she tries to understand a lot of this that's going on. And I'll say there are a lot of Stevens out there. And what I mean is, if you've seen Django, Samuel L. Jackson's character, Steven, yeah, is exactly what I'm talking about. And when I expressed it to her that way, it clicked for her. And she goes, and it was a shock to her, you know. And I'm like, there are lots of people that are just like Steven out there.
Yeah, they've internalized white supremacy. And it's hard not to. I mean, I ran into a break, so I couldn't quite tell the whole story yesterday. But, you know, I really got this, you know, early on from Dick Gregory, where he was talking about how when he was growing up, every attractive woman he ever saw was white on television in the movies.
Yeah.
Every person who had any respect given to them or any power in society was white. And so, you know, what are you supposed to think? You grow up this way. It's imprinted on in your brain. And this is why it's such a good thing now that we are seeing diversity in you know, movies and in television and in our media more generally. And it's also why Ron DeSantis is trying to strip diversity out of the Florida public schools. Go ahead, Steve. Scott.
No, that's exactly right. And my last comment will be, it's really disheartening, especially, and I'm black, you know, and from having lived all over this continent, having traveled all over the world, and having experienced racism both in North Carolina and Florida and lots of places, you know, I just dismissed that stuff when I was younger, and I'm 52 now, but with everything going on these past, you know, 6 years, that's coming more to the surface, it really is saddening because now I find myself looking back and going, well, Were these people really my friends that I used to run with in Florida? Did I used to run with in North Carolina? Were they really my friends back then? or was, or did they see me as just being different from others, you know?
Yeah.
And it's we're in sad times. We really are.
Yeah. I had a conversation very much like that with a Jewish friend of mine maybe 30 years ago. And I had never really understood the depth of anti-Semitism in the United States until he started telling me stories about his growing up. And, you know, obviously, you know, the situation with African-Americans, too. It's a tough one. And this is a cultural crisis, I think, for this country. And on the one hand, you've got Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump and whatnot trying to promote racism and trying to promote white supremacy. And on the other hand, you've got, you know, by and large, the Democratic Party and people aligned with it saying, no, wait a minute, let's wake up from this. And I'm hopeful we can make it through. Scott, thank you. Thank you. That was a great contribution to our conversation. I appreciate it. We'll be right back. It's 15 minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Talk media for the sane among us. It's Anything Goes Friday. Back with your calls right after this. Explore the mighty Mississippi River with American Cruise Lines. On this amazing journey, you'll discover Civil War history you've only read about, savor delicious Cajun cuisine in New Orleans, and experience the roots of rock and roll firsthand in Memphis aboard the newest fleet of American riverboats. Relax on your private balcony, taking in the scenery as the crew provides the highest level of personalized service. Request your free cruise guide today at AmericanCruiseLines.com. That's AmericanCruiseLines.com. Every weekday, I write a new original article about one of the critical issues of our day and publish it on our website, HartmanReport.com. I write these entirely by myself, so you're getting my unvarnished thoughts on national and world events. There's no advertising, and you can get them every single weekday in your email at no charge whatsoever. Or just read them for free with no ads by going to HartmanReport.com. I cover topics from climate to Congress to politics to the law, as well as social and health issues. You can find it all at HartmanReport.com.
There's a software solution to every business need, and Capterra.com can help you find yours. Whether you're a startup looking to keep better track of customers, a nonprofit hoping to have a record fundraising year, or a business that simply needs better payroll software, Capterra's got you covered. Capterra has over 400 categories of business software for you to choose from. Anything from email marketing to scheduling to accounting and beyond. Capterra makes it easy to find what you're looking for, with thousands of ratings and reviews from actual software users just like you. Best of all, using Capterra is absolutely free. Capterra connects you with the business software that will help you do what you do better. Visit Capterra.com today and join the millions of people who use Capterra. That's Capterra, Capterra.com. Capterra.com.
How can Chris be so relaxed when his big interview is today? Because he searched jobs on Glassdoor.com. Out of millions of listings, he filtered by distance and salary to find the job that was right for him. He researched the company on Glassdoor, too. He read employee reviews. He knows they have great medical, even free donut Fridays. So he has nothing to worry about and everything to look forward to. Glassdoor. Find the job that fits your life. Go to Glassdoor.com or download the app today.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders from KFC here with some real news. My delicious world-famous original recipe fried chicken is available at a KFC near you. It has been and will be until the end of time. No matter what's happening in the world, you can trust that my original recipe chicken is always made with 11 herbs and spices. Many unnamed sources agree. It's delicious. Get it in a KFC $10 chicken share and enjoy it with a friend. KFC, it's still finger-licking good. Limited time offer at participating KFCs. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing much more than just a rate. Let me ask you, does calling the company with the best client service in America, with 11 J.D. Power Awards to prove it, matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative, client-focused technology, matter? Does calling the company with 17,000 plus team members who are helping to rebuild the great cities of Detroit and Cleveland matter? Of course it matters. No wonder our clients have made Quicken Loans America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com for the best mortgage experience on earth. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them.
You probably already know there are data brokers out there selling your internet data off to companies who want to serve you a targeted ad. But you might be surprised to learn that they're also selling your information to the Department of Homeland Security and the IRS. I discovered this when I was doing research for my book, The Hidden History of Big Brother. That's why, to mask my digital footprints, I protect myself with ExpressVPN. One of the easiest ways for brokers to aggregate data and tie it back to you is through your device's unique IP address. When you're connected to ExpressVPN, your IP address is hidden, making it much more difficult for data brokers to identify who you are. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of network traffic to keep your data safe from hackers on public Wi-Fi. That's why I have the ExpressVPN app downloaded on all my devices, my phone, my computer, tablets, even my home Wi-Fi router. All I do is tap one button and I'm protected. It's that easy. Visit expressvpn.com/Tom right now and get 3 extra months free through my special link. That's expressvpn.com/THOM. Anything Goes Friday, picking up your calls. George in Cripple Creek, Virginia. Hey, George, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, how are you doing? I hear you talking about DeSantis and others wanting to ban books and all that. Well, I can give you an example from family history, Odin. World War One, when we entered the war in 1917 under the Sedition and Espionage Act, hundreds of German newspapers and periodicals were banned. All the great German and Austrian composers like Mozart and Bach were banned. German language instruction everywhere in, you know, high school and college was banned.
Whoa.
And under those laws, criticizing the U.S. government, you know, the armed forces, or its policies could get you 10 years in prison and a $10,000 fine.
Yeah, you're, I knew you about know, my that.
My grandparents.
Go ahead.
My grandparents, you know, were ethnic Germans and immigrated from Hungary in 1913.
Mm-hmm.
And when the war broke out, speaking German in public could get you in trouble. So, you know, they spoke Hungarian.
Mm.
And my grandfather would still get this, technically a reservist in the Austro-Hungarian Army.
Mm-hmm.
And he loved this country so much, he registered for the U.S. draft in 1917.
Wow.
They didn't call him up, but he registered.
Yeah. Yeah, Woodrow Wilson, I mean, you know, he was a Democrat, but in retrospect, he was a terrible president in many regards.
Exactly right.
He literally never used the phrase flu pandemic. He never even mentioned it, you know, and he was president during, you know, 2 years of the worst pandemic in the history of the United States.
He was the one that premiered, you know, B.W.B. Griffith's Birth of a Nation at the White House.
Yep. Yep, he was a fulminating racist. He was a fan of the Klan. That was the Klan recruiting video. He was also the world's largest supporter at the time of eugenics, and the posters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we ended up with eugenics laws in every state in the Union by 1922 as a result of all the work that Woodrow Wilson did back in the 19-teens. And the posters that Wilson had come up with to promote eugenics, the sterilization of, you know, inferior people and the mentally retarded, those posters were used by Adolf Hitler in the 1930s. I mean, literally.
Yeah, right, exactly. They were his inspiration for the Nuremberg laws, et cetera.
Yep, yep. So I generally try to defend Democrats, but I have a hard time defending Woodrow. And he talked us into World War One too. And to this day, I don't think anybody can explain why, but he hired Edward Bernays, you know, Sigmund Freud's nephew, who invented public relations. He hired him to help sell America on joining World War One. And I don't know why. It didn't seem like that was
you know, an existential threat or a war that we had to involve ourselves in, and we took massive casualties. You know, my grandfather was wounded in that war.
Yeah, my uncle was an Irish American infantry lieutenant, and he was, you know, fought in all the major battles in 1918. He was gas and shell shocked.
Yep. Yeah, and shell shock then is what today we call PTSD. And
yes,
you know, my grandfather never talked about it. He was a member of the DAV, the Disabled American Veterans, and we would go up to Nuevo in the summer, and they would have their DAV. They had a big hall there, you know, and it's now American Legion, I think, or maybe they shared it with the American Legion. But he and a bunch of his buddies, you know, from Northern Michigan would. Go out and march in the parade, and I would go along with them. I was, you know, was probably 10 years old at the time, but he would not talk about the war. I tried to get him to talk about it a couple of times, and he just wouldn't talk about it. So it was a tough.
Yeah, same with my uncle. And one more quick thing. My mom used to go to his unit, you know, reunions after World War One,
mm-hmm.
and he said all his men came up to him and thanked him for profusely for, you know, caring for him and getting him through the World War.
Wow.
He was such a good infantry leader.
Yeah, yeah, that's a sweet story. George, I need to move along, but thank you. Nice to hear from you.
Well, thank you. Keep up the good work, Tom, and enjoy it.
Thank you, George. Thanks for your kind words. Andy in Minneapolis. Hey, Andy, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. I just want to preface my call here that this is pure speculation, but I'll go into detail what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about the Chinese weather balloon.
Yeah.
So I just finished your Big Brother book just the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And something tells me, especially when we look at weather balloons in our iconic, you know, history of Roswell and so forth, the weather balloon might basically, to me, it's a trial balloon. I don't think any instruments on that balloon to surveil anything. I think what it is, based on your Big Brother book that I just finished, is this is something to bait our media response, our populist response to China having this weather balloon overhead to see how engaged
our military
society reacts.
Yeah, that makes a hell of a lot of sense. That makes absolute sense. You know, the last time balloons were over America coming from Asia, it was the Japanese who sent balloons with napalm in them that burned down multiple forests in Washington State and Oregon. It was during World War II.
Well,
most people don't know that Japan actually bombed the continental United States, and FDR covered it up because he didn't want to panic. But Japan actually firebombed the West Coast, the northern West Coast, with today we would call weather balloons. So, which is probably the thing that's inspiring all these right wing freakouts about. Oh my God, is there viruses in that? But I think I think Andy, your explanation makes more sense than any other explanation I've heard so far. And thank you for reading my book, The Hidden History of Big Brother, the sequel, the one that just came out, The Hidden History of Neoliberalism. I think you'll just love. Andy, thanks for the call. Thanks for listening to us on Sirius XM. We'll be right back. It is 27 minutes past the hour. I'll be right back with you, taking your calls on the other side of this break here at the bottom of the hour.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
It's your media support group for we, the people of the United States of America and the world. We'll be right back.
Old car sitting around your house? Maybe you're even paying insurance on it. Well, if you don't need that car anymore, donate it, running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. They will even come and pick it up for free and give you a receipt for a tax donation. Breast cancer screening could save the life of someone you love. And right now, they need your help. They want to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And that's what your old car helps to pay for. So get your phone out and call right now to donate your car to the United Breast Cancer Foundation. Remember, they will come pick it up for free.
Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little? A song that once you heard it made you say, "That's a surefire hit." Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week, I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple, yet so, so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR.
What if one day you went to your secret hiding place? You know, that spot that only you know about? And instead of what you came for, you found something a little different. What if instead of your private stash, you found a simple phone number, 1-800-662-HELP? What would you do? Would you stop and give it some thought? Would you make the call? The truth is, all drug use comes with risk. Before those risks become real, before drugs turn your life upside down, before drugs take their toll on you and your family, know that there is help. You can quit. If you or someone you love is struggling with drug use or prescription drug misuse, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral. Or go to samhsa.gov/thereishelp.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Everyone is entitled to a free credit report from each of the three main credit bureaus once every 12 months. Yet only one in three Wisconsin adults actually obtain the report each year. An easy way to remember to check your report is to simply mark your calendar. Picking dates like February 2nd or 2-2 make it even easier to remember. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and don't forget to keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tease at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were Crudy Takes.
Crudy's Takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. High of 34, today, under overcast skies, southeasterly winds, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy again, tonight, a mixture of precipitation likely, lows around 31. Cloudy skies expected, tomorrow, 35. Upper 30s, Wednesday, turning cooler, Thursday, with highs in the upper 30s, and mixed precipitation. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 8 above.
Head all day.
Yay!
Here's that song again.
It will make you cray cray.
You love your kids enough to watch that TV show a bajillion times.
Yay!
Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat for their age and size. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Share the Tom Hartman program with your friends. We're available on Sirius XM, Free Speech TV, Pacifica, commercial stations nationwide, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, on the Tom Hartman app, and you can even tell your smart speaker to listen to the Tom Hartman program. I get one great night's sleep after another thanks to my Cozy Earth bedding. These are the softest sheets you'll ever find. If you can imagine silk and cotton combined, that's what they feel like to me. Cozy Earth was founded to help transform lives by offering the softest, most luxurious, and responsibly sourced bedding in the world. Cozy Earth uses only luxury materials such as the finest premium viscose made from highly sustainable bamboo. No wonder Cozy Earth is the brand that made Oprah's favorite thing this 5 years in a row. And Cozy Earth bedding, which comes in six awesome colors, is super soft, lightweight, and temperature regulating, so you sleep more comfortably year-round. Whether it's their luxury sheets, loungewear, pajamas, or plush bath towels, you'll love shopping at Cozy Earth. Plus, Cozy Earth bedding comes in a beautiful reusable canvas tote. So get cozy now. Hurry, I can get you 35% off on Cozy Earth. To save 35% on Cozy Earth, go to CozyEarth.com, enter my promo code Tom, T-H-O-M, and you will save 35%. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code Tom, T-H-O-M, CozyEarth.com. 35 minutes past the hour, picking up your calls here. Anthony in St. Augustine, Florida. Hey, Anthony, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. I got a theory, and I was wondering if you could, what's your opinion on it?
Okay.
The unipolar world order, which has existed since 1945, has essentially, I feel, has like come to an end. What I'm talking about is like where basically the West in general has like total say on the politics, like the economics, and all sorts of political theory. That the West essentially does not have as much political or military or economic power as it used to have, and that with the rise of like particularly the developing countries like China and South Africa and other developing countries tend to have their power has actually become stronger over the time. And I was wondering, do you agree with that?
I think that what we have seen. Basically, your question is, how do we account for the rise of the right, of the power of the right in the United States? Is that a summary of it?
Basically, yeah.
It seems to me that a lot of this is just basically coming out of Donald Trump, the naked embrace of racism and things like that. On the other hand, you have a number of right-wing billionaires who have been funding movements that also exacerbate, you know, racial tension, class tension. Inequality, all of these are things that drive discord in society and enhance the power of the right. So
do you agree also that the rise of the BRICS countries could actually rival rival the IMF and other powerful banksters? And so
it's a good question. Brazil, Russia, India, and China. You know, there have been efforts by some in those countries to tie them together. It's, you know, Russia's invasion of Ukraine is blowing that apart. And I think that Brazil now, you know, with Lula, you know, replacing Bolsonaro, I don't see any kind of an alliance among them. They were kind of combined by people in the investment community more than anything else. So I'm skeptical about that. And, you know, there is an effort now to have, in fact, just this morning, Paul Krugman is writing about this in his newsletter, his New York, it'll probably be in the New York Times too, but I get his newsletter and email every morning, or, you know, whenever he writes it. And it was about, you know, the end of the dollar as the world's reserve currency. And he's very skeptical of that. You've got, you know, the euro, which could challenge the dollar. You've got the Chinese yuan. The Chinese are trying to get the world oil markets to denominate oil in yuan. That's not happening. Right. So
yeah, because I believe that the world is so is so open now. We are that, I mean, no one economy is strong enough anymore to have total domination, and that, you know, you're going to see basically like, you know, where everybody's got a seat at the table now, you know, as far as like developing countries like in South Africa and India.
Yeah, at the same time, another phenomenon is happening, Anthony, that I think is consequential, and that is that this era of the neoliberal era of one world, controlled by giant corporations, basically one world that's interconnected through trade, is disintegrating. America is becoming nationalist. China is becoming nationalist. China's economy is increasingly turning inward, out of necessity. Xi is looking at, unrest among his people. India's economy is starting to turn inward. Modi just announced a multi-billion dollar plan to have India by 2070 entirely producing their own electricity from sustainable sources.
So now that China is supposedly turning inward, what do you think is the motivation behind the so-called Belt and Road Initiative?
Well, I think that was an attempt to, number one, expand the market for Chinese manufactured goods, and number two, to gain access. And I'm not sure which is one and which is two, but to gain access to raw materials, whether it's oil or whether it's rare earth minerals or whatever. Again, whether they'll be able to sustain that over the long term, and particularly if they get into a pissing war, a shooting war with Taiwan, how that's going to work out. Those are all open questions. Great questions, though. Anthony, thank you for the call. Mark in Woodstock, New York, listening to WIOF. Hey, Mark, what's on your mind today?
How you doing, Tom?
Good. What's up?
Wanted to remind you that February 6th is Bob Marley's birthday. Would have been 78.
Oh, wow. And that'll be on Monday. Yep. Okay.
Yep. Just informing you and the audience that Bob was a prophet.
He was.
He definitely was a prophet, and a lot of other Rastas prophesized the world today. For example, Peter Tosh. Familiar with Peter?
I'm not.
Well, Peter Tosh was one of the original Wailers. He sang Legalize It way back in the 70s, and here we are 50 years later, and they finally did. He sang We Don't Want No Nuclear War. Back then, he was assassinated by right-wingers in Jamaica for his political thoughts. And
what's basically the status of the Rastafarian movement right now, Mark? Has it kind of gone away, or is it stronger than ever in particular in the Caribbean communities?
I'm going to guess. I'm just going to guess. And I still listen to, like, Roots, but I came up upon this guy, Maka B. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
I'm not.
But he's a Roots guy, and he's talking about Rasta could have told you. A lot of the things like Rastas were vegetarians, a lot of vegetarians now. Again, Rastas, but ganja was a sacrament.
Yep.
I'm going along with that.
Me too.
A lot of other, they talked about Babylon is falling, and we certainly are almost a biblical Babylon right now.
Yeah. Well, it would be fascinating to know what the state of the movement is at this moment. I know that there are still Rastafarians around, but I just don't know if it's been growing over the years or shrinking or static or whatever. But thanks for the flag on Bob Marley's birthday, Mark. Kino in Lakewood, Florida. Hey, Kino, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, Tom, last hour you had a caller, Siobhan, I think it was, talking about primitive minds trying to operate in a modern world. Now, on my master's degree, I did a research paper to look into how much of the population can analyze long-term thinking. My hypothesis, my professor joined in with me to collaborate. We studied personality test results, Myers-Briggs, and many other personality tests. And our hypothesis was that 80% of the population in the modern world does not have the mental capacity to think in long-term analysis of consequences. That it's scary. But see, when I first got out of college, I worked for the Florida Department of Transportation as an environmental advisor. And when I tried, we were planning roads, and I tried to talk about 50-year floodplains and so on, and people just couldn't understand. There was one floodplain I advised not to build a road, and my boss, the engineer, got mad and said, "You're not here to tell us what not to do." They built the road. They built an upscale community with airplanes and hangars, and it flooded 30 years after I left, and there was millions of dollars worth of damage. But anyway, from that experience, I thought people can't seem to have the capacity to analyze the future. So when I was working for my master's degree, this research paper, my professor joined in with me, and our analysis was that about 80% of the population could not think in long-term consequences or analysis. Right. Now, other writers, Paul Ehrlich, the population biologist, and other books have talked about from an evolutionary standpoint, in the past, our ancestors only had to think in one-year terms, you know, make it through the winter till the spring and the harvest and so on. But last hour, you mentioned a book about a bicameral mind, and you said it so rapidly. If you would comment on what I've said, but also before that, could you repeat that book slowly?
Yeah. Oh, I think you'll love this book. It can be dense reading at times, but it's brilliant. In fact, I first read it when I was a teenager, and it blew my mind. It's by a fellow by the name of Julian Jaynes, J-A-Y-N-E-S, and it's called It's called The Origin of Consciousness in the Breakdown of the Bicameral Mind.
And his breakdown.
Yeah,
okay.
And his hypothesis was that arguably we broadly that, you know, our brains were more unicameral at one point in the past. After you read that, the next book to read is The Alphabet Versus the Goddess by my old buddy Leonard Schlein.
Alphabet Versus the Goddess.
Right, by Leonard Schlein, S-C-H-L-A-I-N, as I recall. And we weren't close, but you know, we had lunch a couple of times. And he was a neuroscientist. He was a brain surgeon, actually. In fact, he died of brain cancer, which is ironic. And his hypothesis was that before literacy, we literally thought differently and understood the world differently, and that we were more left hemisphere or right hemisphere dominant. Left side dominant, and that what literacy did, because it requires an abstract alphabet, and abstract thinking is what happens in the left hemisphere, the right side of your body, that abstract thinking rewired our brains and took us away from the emotional side of our brain and threw us into the rational side of our brain, and that led to things like Nazism and stuff. I mean, you know, and one of his examples is that prior to the 15th century in Europe, it was illegal for people to read. You had to be a priest in order to know how to read. Literacy was actually a crime before Gutenberg. And during that time, and for literally 1,000 years prior to that time, Jesus was not the principal object of adoration in the Christian churches of Europe. It was Mary. All the churches were dedicated to Mary, the temples and the sanctuaries and the monasteries, and everything was all about Mary, and Jesus was kind of peripheral to that. And then what happened was, within one generation of literacy becoming widespread in Europe, you saw women being burned as witches, you saw the Mary churches being torn down or rededicated to Jesus. You saw raising masculinity and male power and diminishing female power. You saw a war on female doctors, midwives and herbalists. You saw the rise of male dominance all across Europe. And he also says that those cultures that use pictograms rather than abstract alphabets are not as badly affected by this. It's an absolutely fascinating book, and it kind of builds on Jaynes's work, although I don't think Schlein would have acknowledged that. But those two books, both about kind of the evolution of our brain and how our brain adapts to the environment, I think, Keno, you would find fascinating. I got to run. It's 48 minutes. Thank you for the call, Keno. It's 48 minutes past the hour. We'll be back with more of your calls on Anything Goes Friday right after this.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
By the way, the Swedes, I don't know now, but a decade or so ago when I was talking to Leonard, the Swedes didn't start teaching kids to read and write until 7 years old. Want something special for your guy this Valentine's Day? Put the man back in romance with a fun and flirty gift from mancrates.com. Mancrates.com has hundreds of totally unique gifts he'll truly love, like the whiskey appreciation crate with a personalized decanter, matching tumblers, ice sphere molds, and more. Put me down for that. Mancrates.com packs his gift in unforgettable experiences, like sealed crates he gets to open with a crowbar, or a heart-shaped box of delicious jerky, like whiskey maple or root beer habanero. Personalization is free, and every gift comes with a full satisfaction guarantee. Use the code LOVE20 at mancrates.com to save 20% on orders over $99. That's LOVE20 at mancrates.com. Mancrates.com. Hi, Tom Hartman here. My Hidden History series includes 10 timely and paramount books that break down some of the biggest issues of today. The first is The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment, where I look at the real history of guns in America, had to do with slave patrols, and what we can do to limit both their lethal impact and the power of the NRA. The next is The Hidden History of the Supreme Court and the Betrayal of America, where I lay out how Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon both committed treason to become president just to put right-wingers on the Supreme Court and how the Supreme Court paid them back. The third is The Hidden History of the War on Voting, Who Stole Your Vote and How to Get It Back, where we look at how Hillary Clinton actually won the last election and common sense things that people can do to reclaim their rights to vote. Coming this fall is The Hidden History of Monopolies, how big business destroyed the American dream. And next spring you'll see The Hidden History of Oligarchy, The Rise of the Hard Right. That's the Hidden History series by yours truly, Tom Hartman, available wherever fine books are sold. Hey, my new book, The Hidden History of the War on Voting, Who Stole Your Vote and How to Get It Back, is arriving in bookstores on February 10th. I cover how the heartbeat of democracy depends on the vote. This book goes in depth on the racist legacy of our vote and the unique struggles of women and Native Americans. In part two, there's a deep dive into the economic royalists' modern war on voting. And part three is the solutions, how we get out there and get active. Pre-order now at any fine bookstore. I'm also on the road with a book tour for The Hidden History of Voting. Join me on Monday, February 17th in San Francisco for the Berkeley Arts and Letters Series. On Wednesday, February 19th at Town Hall, Seattle. Sunday, February 23rd for the Blue State Ball in Minneapolis. On Friday, February 28th at Powell's in Portland. And Sunday, March 1st in Chicago. More information is available at TomHartman.com. This book is the third in the series after The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment and The Hidden History of the Supreme Court and the Betrayal of America. Order your copy now, The Hidden History of the War on Voting.
In the foreword to Tom Hartman's book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, renowned author Joseph Chilton Pierce writes,
"To discover brilliant, innovative, creative, and original thinking is one of life's rare privileges. To discover that such a thinker has focused on the most critical of all issues facing our species is encouraging. Because The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight is a seminal work offering a viewpoint original yet ancient, I see our situation today in a new light, and because of the scope and depth of this work, I find it inspiring as well as disturbing. I rather exhausted superlative in praise of Tom Hartman's book, The Prophet's Way, which I rightly called the most important book I've ever read. But now I find the sequel calling for equal praise, since the issue here addresses the whole of our species, and indeed all species."
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
Help support Progressive Radio. If you're listening to us on a commercial station, call their advertisers and let them know you're listening. If you're listening to us on Pacifica, one of our many nonprofit stations, please support them when they do their fundraising drives. Thanks for supporting Progressive Talk Radio, and tag you're it. Welcome back to Anything Goes Friday. Barbara in Tompkinsville, Kentucky. Hey, Barbara, what's on your mind today?
I just wanted to give you an example of internalized depression. I'm a white woman in Kentucky. I was married to a black man, and we lived together, and we had twin sons, and we lived in a predominantly white neighborhood. We went to a predominantly black church. They kind of had the best best examples of immersion into the black community, but we were a minority in Kentucky. And when my children were about 10 years old, they're twins, we were driving through Nashville, and we were driving through a predominantly black area. And my children said, my boy said, Mama, I'm scared. And I said, why are you afraid? And he said, because there's so many black people.
Oh, my.
Now, their paternal family that they adored and loved on them, and their church family that just supported them and nurtured them, they were all black. And they had internalized from the messages. And I didn't even let them watch TV. It's amazing to me that they internalized that they were to be afraid when they saw so many black people on the street.
Wow. What a remarkable story. Are they grown up now?
It broke my heart. They're grown now, and they're wonderful young men. Mm-hmm. But it was just, you know, when people were talking about racism a couple of days ago, people don't understand racism is really not an individual characteristic at all. It is one race oppressing another race, and we can all be part of that in the messages, in everything that, you know, in everything that this society puts out there. And some things are so subtle that you don't even know they're happening.
Yeah.
Now, I watched news on Nashville for years and years and years, the Nashville station, and I began to notice that any time there was a crime, and Nashville's a high crime city, anytime there was a crime and they described a suspect, they would say either it was a black man, 23 years old, or something, or it was a man, 23 years old.
Right.
They never said the word white.
Mm-hmm.
When the suspect was white, they did not say white.
Right.
They only said the suspect is 23 years old, slim, whatever. The word white was not registering in our brains. But every time a suspect was black, they said black, 23 years old, black. Was registering.
I think
in
to a large extent brain. That's still the case, Barbara.
Oh, I think so, too. I listen all the time for it.
Yeah.
And when they don't say it, I say, okay, so we know he's white, because they didn't say he was white.
Yeah, yeah. You've had a special perspective on this, having raised two black kids and been married to a black man. That's remarkable.
Yeah, you know, when they were... when they were younger, they would ask me questions that would kind of surprise me sometimes. And once, when they were only four, they said, I was reading to them about Martin Luther King, and they said, if we had gone to school back then, would we have gone to school with black kids or white kids? And I said, because I'm a social worker and I'm trying to answer these questions, I said, well, what do you think? And they said, oh, well, we would have gone to school with black kids because we were mostly black.
Wow.
And I said, no, you're half white. Actually, honey, you're half white and half black.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked at each other and they were so surprised. And I thought, why are they surprised? Daddy's right here every day.
and so is Mom. Barbara, I'm sorry we're out of time, but thank you for sharing those stories. Thank you so much. We'll be back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Do you have a car sitting around you want to get rid of? Then here's a great idea. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Yes, one fast call to the Veteran Car Donation Program and we'll come and remove your car for free. Fast, free towing, and 24-hour response. You can donate most cars, trucks, or SUVs in most conditions. The proceeds raised goes to help active military, veterans, and their families, and you get a tax deduction. All you need to do is make this free call. Get rid of that old car and help the vets. We make it easy. Make this free call now and book your fast and easy pickup. Call the Veteran Donation Program now. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Operators are standing by. Here's the number.
800-880-5013. 800-880-5013.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE Broadcasting.